in the mid-80s. Mostly clear skies tonight, the low in the mid-60s. And for Monday tomorrow, sunny skies and the high near 84 degrees. Right now, it's 75 degrees in Nashville. The time is 9 o'clock. Broadcast of Says You is up next on Nashville Public Radio.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. There's a lot of reasons to listen to this program. Chief among them, all the new vocabulary you'll pick up.
We have a phoneme, a person who uses the phone a lot.
Another reason to play games on radio simply not offered elsewhere.
And now it's time for the Says You kissing round.
Yeah, that's good.
Did you floss?
And then there are those moments when we manage to answer questions that have been haunting mankind since the dawn of time.
What could be more erotic than brilberry? Mayonnaise.
If it's poetry you expected, we may fall somewhat short. Our specialty is laughter, and language is our fort. See what we mean after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty is pulling out of the race for the GOP nomination for president. He made the announcement this morning after coming in a distant third in yesterday's Iowa straw poll.
I'm going to be ending my campaign for president, but I'm very, very grateful for the people of Iowa, the people of this country who I had a chance to make my case to, and for my supporters and staff and friends who've been so loyal and helpful. I really appreciate all of them. I wish it would have been different. But obviously, the pathway forward for me doesn't really exist.
Pawlenty speaking on ABC's This Week. His Minnesota rival, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, won the straw poll. And although she and the rest of the GOP field are losing an opponent, they have picked up another. Texas Governor Rick Perry got into the race yesterday. Drake University politics professor Dennis Goldford says the two will be fighting for support among the same groups of voters.
Rick Perry will appeal to precisely the same constituencies in the party that she does, that Tea Party conservative and that religious conservative.
And Perry and Bachmann will find themselves at the same fundraising event this evening in Bachmann's hometown of Waterloo, Iowa. It was supposed to be a fun night at the Indiana State Fair, but it ended in tragedy and chaos. The popular country music band Sugarland was set to take the stage before the structure's metal canopy fell to the ground during a strong storm. Dan Goldblatt of member station WFIU has more on what happened next.
Witnesses say many lives were saved by fellow concertgoers who rushed to lift the twisted metal canopy frame off survivors and help those injured reach medical personnel. According to Indiana State Police Sergeant Dave Burston, at least four people are dead and dozens injured after the accident.
The degree of injuries for those people ranges from cuts and scrapes to very serious injuries, and I want to be very frank that there is a possibility that we could have other deaths.
According to Burston, although a severe thunderstorm warning had been released, police were discussing an evacuation plan, but no order to evacuate had been issued to the crowd. For NPR News, I'm Dan Goldblatt in Indianapolis.
More than 2,000 people have been arrested in England for offenses linked to the riots there, and as Larry Miller reports, that number is expected to keep rising.
Police predict there could be more than 4,000 arrests each day. Closed-circuit TV pictures are released of suspects caught in the act. A young woman laughing, her arms filled with tennis shoes, a young man, his right arm in full cast and sling, his left hand gripping a brick. Scotland Yard is using face recognition software. Not all arrests are from deprived backgrounds. A soldier, a millionaire's daughter, and a real estate agent are among those charged. In a sample analyzed by the Sunday Times, the average age of those arrested in London is 19. In Manchester, it's 26. In London, around 40% live outside riot-hit areas. 38% are unemployed. The rest are students or have jobs. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
You're listening to NPR News. The UN Refugee Agency is starting to move Somali refugee families into a new area of Kenya's Dadaab refugee complex this weekend. It's the world's largest refugee camp, and Lisa Schlein in Geneva reports the move is aimed at easing the overcrowded conditions.
Dadaab is bursting with refugees and can't accommodate more, so new arrivals are forced to live in squalid, makeshift conditions on its periphery. UN refugee spokesman Adrian Edwards says the new site, which can accommodate 90,000 people, will help ease this housing crisis.
Tents and infrastructure are being put in place and will provide much needed shelter and services. We're currently seeing 1,500 people arriving on average every single day.
More than 70,000 Somalis fleeing drought, famine, and conflict have arrived at Kenya's Dadaab camp over the past 2 months, pushing the overall population to about 440,000. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
Libyan rebels and forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi are battling inside the key western city of Zawiya today. Zawiya is 30 miles west of the Libyan capital of Tripoli. It's a key target for the rebels because whoever controls Zawiya controls the coastal highway and the movement of food and fuel into Tripoli. The rebels have hoisted their flag in the center of town even as they battle snipers. The crackdown on protests in Syria have taken a new twist. Activists say the Syrian military is shelling the port city of Latakia from the sea as ground troops and tanks move into several neighborhoods today. It's the second day of a military drive to crush protests in the city. At least 10 people are said to have died since yesterday, with more than 2 dozen and wounded. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Says You in Memphis, Tennessee is made possible by the Buckman Performing Arts Center and the good folks at WKNO-FM.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you from the stage of the Buckman Performing Arts Center at the St. Mary's Episcopal School in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's originally from around these parts, our native Tennessean, Barry Nolan. Applause for Tennessee, no doubt. She's a native Virginian by way of California who lives in New England and feels right at home here, Garland Waller. And he's a native Californian, raised in Mexico, transplanted to New Hampshire, now in Massachusetts. Please welcome the completely disoriented Mr. Tony Khan. And who captains today?
Garland
will be the terrified captain.
I'm good at telling people what to do.
Garland will be the captain. To my left, team two. She came to Memphis for the cooking and has been roasted every night. Carolyn Faye Fox. She came to Memphis for the music, and she's had the blues ever since. Lenore Shannon. And he's come to Memphis for the beautiful weather. That's his slicker, umbrella, scarf, gloves, down vest, gaiters, and galoshes in the corner, Mr. Arnie Reisman. Who leads on this occasion?
Mr. Reisman.
Yes.
Mr. Galoshes.
Arnie
will
be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin a round of bad decisions. Why might each of the following have wanted a do-over? For example, if I said record executive Dick Rowe, which we've had before, you would say he was the man who turned down the Beatles.
Oh.
Okay, so all these people might have wanted a do-over. Try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
Why would a do-over have been requested by first-time automaker Henry Ford?
First-time automaker Henry Ford.
Yes.
Why would he have wanted a do-over?
Oh, yeah.
Did he design the Toyota way back when?
Well, so much for the corporate sponsorship angle.
Yeah.
That's right down the drain.
His first car was an Edsel?
Her son was an Edsel.
Yes, that's true.
And then he wanted another son.
Why might he have wanted a do-over on that first car, boy?
Apparently the first car did not work.
Well, it had one problem, that's for sure.
It didn't get FM stereo.
It did not, that's true. Right. That's one point.
The heater was on the outside. The crank.
It had no brakes.
No, it had brakes.
No seats.
It had seats.
What more do you need?
It sounds like a
steering wheel. Steering wheel.
What more do you need from
headlights.
A Ford?
Is it a steering wheel?
It is not.
Okay. Right.
But I'll tell you when they found out about this, when they were trying to get it out of the garage.
No reverse. No engine. It didn't back out.
It didn't back out.
It no did not have reverse. Reverse. Very good, Miss Shannon. It did not have reverse. And we sort of led you there kicking and screaming. So what do you think? 7 points?
Something.
I'm proud.
Well, so we'd like our 7 points.
All right, I'm willing to take suggestions. What do you think? Five? Yeah, we got a lot of fives. Yeah, 5 points for that because we did lead you kicking and screaming. They couldn't get it out of the garage because they didn't have reverse.
No. So what he would put the door on the other side. Who invented the garage?
I think that was
before they had cars. Heck, I could have made a lot more money. I bet it was Sears.
Oh, boy. I guess that's how they solved the problem. I don't really know. Try this one, Tony. Why might these folks have wanted a do-over? The 1950s advertising campaign for Electrolux.
Perhaps because would there have been a competing product with a similar name? It did not run on electricity or didn't have a plug.
It did. It had a plug and everything.
The enthusiastic engineer that insisted on the slogan about its mechanical advantage didn't appreciate how the audience would respond to the slogan, "It sucks!"
He's exactly right. 10 points.
Mary, I was afraid to say that. Richard, if I had given you that answer, you would have edited it out. How come he gets to say
that? I'm sorry. In the early 1950s, they devised an American advertising campaign that promised nothing sucks like an Electrolux. I'm not making this up. All right, let's try a few that are a little harder here. Arnie, why might these folks have wanted a do-over? The 1984 postseason Portland Trailblazers.
Postseason?
Yes.
Does it have something to do with the fact that they're called Trailblazers and they got lost on the way home from a game?
Yeah, right. They couldn't find it. They went to Portland, Maine instead. Yes.
You know, I'm giving you 2 points for that just because I love the answer. No, this is something that happens every season in the postseason. And the Portland Trailblazers, I am sure, would have wanted a do-over.
We're talking a draft?
Yes, we are.
And they let Shaquille O'Neal go by.
Well,
84. Larry Bird.
It's not Shaquille O'Neal or Larry Bird. That was earlier.
Jordan.
That's exactly right.
Oh.
They passed. Drafting second in that year's NBA draft, they chose the center they so desperately needed, Sam Bowie out of Kentucky, who was a great player, but they passed up on the chance to draft North Carolina guard Michael Jordan because they didn't need a guard.
They missed him by that much. That,
and here's an extra point if you can get it. Know who the number one draft choice was ahead of Jordan and Bowie that year? Give it a shot.
Oh, boy. No.
Anybody in the audience? No? Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, it was? Really?
The band. Did the band know that?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Very good. Very good.
All right, Garland. No one's going to get this, but I wanted to give this one to you.
Oh, great.
Why might this person have wanted a do-over? State Department Polish translator Stephen Seymour.
Yes.
Wait.
Wonderful images.
He said
what?
He didn't Polish say that Poland was it not a communist country?
He did not. That was
Jerry Ford.
It was a lot worse than that.
Okay.
Do you remember this?
What year was this?
This was 1978, I believe.
And he was the Polish translator?
Yes, is
he
this
was
your
translating
question?
From Polish into English.
Carter. No. Carter was president. Carter's president. He's the State Department Polish translator.
Do you remember this, Garland?
No.
She's
too young.
And he mistranslated something to great embarrassment.
Oh, did he ever? Does anyone up there remember what actually happened?
Did it involve too many consonants?
Surprisingly, no, it did not. Does anyone in the audience remember this one?
This is before Solidarity.
Yes. It's something like, I want you carnal.
That is exactly right from the audience.
Let me
just do this.
Yeah.
State Department translator Stephen Seymour, when Jimmy Carter spoke to an airport crowd of 500 Polish leaders, the speech was horribly mistranslated, and the final straw was when Carter's, I have come to learn your opinions and understand your desires for the future, was translated as, I would like to know the Polish people, biblically speaking.
Yes, it was right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Was that before or after he had lust in his heart?
I don't think. Garland, is it all coming back to you now?
Oh, yeah. This was after Kennedy declared to all the people in Berlin that he was a cupcake?
A donut.
Yes, a donut.
Ladies and gentlemen, Berlin, I am a donut.
All right, that was a terribly hard one, so we'll give Lenore a terribly hard one to balance it out. Why might the following have wanted a do-over, Lenore? And we'll give you a lot of help on this. John and Forrest Mars. M-A-R-S.
This is the candy people.
Yeah.
It is.
Mars bar,
passed, and they passed on some product? Or?
Yes, they did, on a 1981 project from Universal Studios.
E.T.
And what about it?
Reese's Pieces.
One of the early product placement jobs that... Right.
I don't know how they know that, but that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
And that has turned into an incredibly huge business on its own, as we all see with, you know, American Idol and Says You even.
Sharpies. We write with Sharpies.
Right.
Yes. John and Forrest Mars. In 1981, Universal Studios called the owner of Mars, Inc., makers of M&M's, asking for permission to use the candy in a new film they were making, which was fairly common product placement, but Mars said no. Universal then went to Hershey's and cut a deal, and as we all know, as E.T.'s favorite candy, sales of Reese's Pieces tripled within 2 weeks and became a sweetness staple. It was, according to one ecstatic Hershey's executive, the biggest marketing coup in history. So that's what that was. And finally, Barry... Why might this person have wanted a do-over? Former NBC broadcast operations supervisor Dick Klein. And we can give you a couple of hints on this.
NBC. Yeah.
Former NBC. Oh, is this where he cut away?
It is, in fact.
He chose to cut away from a football game which had a very dramatic ending. Is that right?
It's true. Yep. Do you know what he was cutting away to?
Yes, Garland does. Take it, Garland.
Yep, we know.
I don't have any idea.
Oh, yeah, we
got it.
We got it.
You do have it?
Oh, wait. Okay. Give me a minute.
What is it?
Wait. Get comfortable.
Yeah.
She's my wife. I can say this.
Was it just skating?
It was.
Now, think pigtails.
Heidi?
Heidi is exactly right. It was the famous Heidi game.
Heidi.
I want to clear up Mr. Klein's reputation right now. It was really not his fault, but he was the man responsible for throwing the switch on the infamous Heidi game. Do you all remember this?
Yeah.
On November 17th, 1968, the Jets led the Raiders 32-29 with 65 seconds remaining. and under strict instructions to honor sponsor commitments and air the Heidi special from exactly 7 to 9, Supervisor Klein did as he was instructed. Millions of football fans across the country didn't see the last 14 points scored by the Oakland Raiders. NBC has since claimed it tried desperately to reach the isolated Klein in Burbank, but no one is completely sure that's true. What it did point out was in the following days was that millions upon millions of people were watching pro football in this country and that they had no problem expressing their opinions to the network. So that was the Heidi game, and very good, you guys. Nice first round. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little help from Jeremy Schrader's Hot Memphis Five. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Garland's team. 10 points up for grabs to Garland if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word contributed by Jim Baxter of Menlo Park, California. That word is Aeroteam. 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 Gentlemen?
You come home, Bill Bailey. Won't you come home? Yes, she cries the whole day long. Oh, I'll do your cooking, honey. Yes, I'll pay your rent. Oh, you know I've done you so wrong. Yes, you remember that rainy evening when I threw you out. You had nothing but a fine tooth comb. Oh, well, ain't that a shame? Yes, I know I'm to blame. Bill Bailey, won't you please come home?
Hi, this is Richard. Boston, Massachusetts is the newest addition to Says You's Fall Caravan of Cajolery. Add this to Hartford, Connecticut and Seattle, Washington, and you have the full schedule of Says You's live performances. On Saturday, September 24th, we'll be at St. Joseph College in West Hartford. Then, on Sunday, October 16th, it's a Sunday matinee at Suffolk University on Boston's Beacon Hill. In November, it's out to Seattle for a weekend at Town Hall and a community Says You in Port Townsend. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So remember, this fall, it's Hartford in September, Boston in October, and then Seattle in November. Says You, live. Says You returns after this from home.
I'm Krista Tippett. Next time on Being, listening beyond life and choice. We hear wisdom on creating real relationship with political opposites from inside the abortion debate. Frances Kissling is learning lessons below the radar that have resonance for us all. This is part of the Civil Conversations Project, ideas and tools for healing our fractured civic spaces. That's from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
At Talk of the Nation, we look for the best guests to keep you educated, informed, and entertained. But we also rely on you to ask the questions you want answered and offer your experiences on that day's topic. I'm Neil Conan. Join the live conversation by phone or email on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3. You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. It's 24 minutes after 9, 79 degrees in Nashville.
Says You Coming to Our Town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU.
Well, you remember that rainy evening when I put you out? Well, you had nothing but a fine-tooth comb. Oh, well, ain't that a shame? Yes, I know I'm to blame. Bill Bailey, won't you please come home? Yes, I know that it's a shame. I've only got me to blame. Bill Bailey, won't you please come home?
Thank you. That is Jeremy Schrader's Hot Memphis Five. That's Jeremy Schrader on vocals and trumpet, Chip Henderson on the banjo, Tom Link on clarinet, Sean Murphy on tuba, and Gerald Stevens on the ivories. Thanks, guys. This gives me a chance also to thank our scorekeepers. That's Alec Gustafson on the left and Benjamin Scherr on the right. Thank you very much, guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word aeroteam. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Aeroteam. Aeroteam is a state of excessive fastidiousness regarding romantic behavior, as in flossing before kissing.
Flossing before kissing.
Flossing before kissing.
Flossing after kissing would be considered impolite, is that fair?
I suppose.
That probably depends on whom you're kissing.
But romantic fastidiousness is basically what we're talking about, is aeroteam. That's a good possibility. Or Arnie, it could be something else.
Aeroteam, the Greek goddess of disbelief and misunderstanding. She coined the term, huh? Actually, it's very close to that.
Oh.
She is now a noun. Oh. And it's from those wonderful folks who gave you words like interrobang. It's just a fancy schmancy way of saying, is that a question mark?
What? Is there an answer in there someplace?
Yes, I'm curious.
What did he say, Richard?
Aeroteam. A question mark.
It's a question mark.
Question mark.
I like the hump better. I have to say. It's a question mark. Is an aeroteam. That could be it. Or something else. Lenore, what say you?
Well, it might be deodorant.
Yes.
But I was fascinated to learn that aerotemic or aerotemia is an expression for someone who loves to whistle.
A whistle lover.
So an aeroteam is someone who
whistles all the time.
Loves to whistle. It's an aeroteam, someone who loves to whistle. That makes perfect sense. And it is either that, or a question mark, or romantic fastidiousness. It is one of those three. And the choice, Garland, is yours.
Well, I was leaning towards Carolyn's because I thought aeroteam might be like Brill cream, like a man's hair cream, only more erotic. So,
what could be more erotic than Brill cream? Mayonnaise.
I suppose.
Too much information, Arnie. Too much information.
I think that the word eem is an ending for that means someone who does something. We have a phoneme, a person who uses the phone a lot.
I think it's going to be the question mark.
Well, Arnie did sort of fumble around. He had a couple of examples involving questions. Right?
Arnie went so far around Robin Hood's barn that I totally lost sight of him. So that's that just makes me guess that he's making that up. But as Garland,
Well, as the team captain,
yes.
I always do whatever my husband says.
What?
Oh, boy.
We've entered the fiction part of our
I think we're with the question mark. Is that
Okay.
Is that what you two think?
I still think it's... Well, if you, could you repeat the definition that involves whistling? Is it a whistler or someone who loves whistling? What was the definition?
It's a love of whistling, someone who loves to whistle, a fan of whistling.
A love of whistling? That sounds more like...
Whistler's lover.
Who was very different from Whistler's mom.
I tend to think it was Arnie's just because he really did sort of stumble around with
it. You're the boss. And you've built consensus.
You're the cap team.
Okay, so Arnie.
Not saying anything else about it.
Is there a decision in our future here?
I said Arnie. The question mark.
You're going to say Arnie the question mark.
Yeah.
Arnie, they have come to the decision that Era Team is a question mark. Is that in fact what it means?
Huh?
Yeah.
10 points.
I knew it all along.
The finding of Lapa. Good job, I have to say.
Yes.
Very, very good job figuring that one out. Let's go on to round three. Jackson Fenner of Knoxville, Tennessee, sent us this contribution over 2 years ago. Thanks, Jackson. We were just waiting for the right moment.
And you expected him here today?
He is here, supposedly. Well, his contribution is to the category we call twofers. What one word is synonymous with the following two clues? An example, if I said tie and sketch, it would be draw. A tie is a draw, and sketch is also a draw. So we know where we're going with this?
All
right. Tie and draw. Try this one, Carolyn. What one word means both first and letter?
Letter?
Yes, L-E-T-T-E-R.
First?
First and letter.
Letter.
Wait. Oops, I just heard
it
in the audience.
Premier, start.
You can do that. Are you going in the direction of sports?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, you can letter in an event.
That's
you know
right.
I'm talking about.
Yes.
You're not doing that.
But you don't have to come in first to letter in an event.
Don't get picky.
First and letter. Boy, we hit them with the hard one.
First and letter. Yeah, this is a little difficult. Come on, team.
First.
First and letter.
Pre.
This is
very difficult.
This is a hard one.
Initial.
Initial is exactly right. Very good. The first is the initial, and, of course, the letter is initial. Try this one, Tony.
Draw.
Yes. Try this one, Tony.
Okay.
Abandoned.
Uh-huh.
And port.
And, I'm sorry?
Port.
Left.
Port.
Left.
Yeah. Left.
Yeah.
Is exactly right. Very good. You don't know who you're messing with here, Jackson. They're on their toes today. Try this one, Arnie. Sprint.
Sprint.
Yes, S-P-R-I-N-T. And manage.
Manage.
Shh.
Run.
Boy. Yeah. Give the radio audience a chance here, will you? Yes, that's exactly right. Run is right. Try this one, Garland. Dead. And tardy.
Oh.
Late.
Late is exactly right. This is. I think we're just going to go rifling through this category.
When it happens at Starbucks, it's called latte.
That's true.
And you're dead and tardy?
Yes, that's true. Lenore, gentle and sort.
Gentle and sort.
Yes.
Easy. Golly, jump in anytime, anyone.
Sort.
Oh, a tough
smooth,
one.
Easy.
I can't ask that,
variety.
Though. Is it sort of
gentle.
A variety? That's what
gentle.
I was wondering.
Gentle.
Oh. Type. Rich, I don't know.
Oh, they're mumbling over there. The other side does have it.
We're mumbling.
The other side has it.
Does the other side know?
Yes, they do.
Yes, that's unnerving.
Sort of.
Okay, we give up.
You give up already?
We give up.
All right, other side?
Kind.
Kind.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
Kind is exactly right.
Why did you say it?
I thought I'd said it.
Oh. You did say it, Carolyn?
I was murmuring it. I do have it written down. I was type,
probably,
soft, kind.
I'm sorry. I did not hear you if you did.
I'm sorry.
Kind. Oh, because kind of, right.
Right. Okay, yeah. Well, I guess not. All so right. We'll go right. on. And finally, Barry, plank.
Plank.
P-L-A-N-K. And meals.
Meals?
Meals?
Board. Yes.
Board.
Board.
Oh, yeah.
Is exactly right. Board. Nice job, you guys. You just rifled through that. Jackson, thank you very much for the contribution that you waited over 2 years to hear, and I think they did it in about 2 minutes, but that was an excellent job from the panel. Very good. And let's go on to round four, which is Garland's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points. Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word contributed by Siobhan Kelleher of Denver, Colorado. That word is Sicer. C-Y-S-E-R. Sicer. Gentlemen? Just a quick reminder, what do Boston, Massachusetts, Hartford, Connecticut, and Seattle, Washington all have in common? Well, all are stops on this fall's Says You Caravan of Cajolery. On Saturday, September 24th, we'll be at St. Joseph College in West Hartford. Then on Sunday, October 16th, it's a matinee at Suffolk University on Boston's Beacon Hill. In November, it's out to Seattle for a weekend at Town Hall, and then a community Says You in Port Townsend. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. SAYSYOU. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
Saturday's Iowa straw poll could help produce a leader for the Republican presidential campaign. Or will it? I'm Orman Olney. On To the Point, do Iowa's evangelical voters really speak for the GOP? How come some candidates and others expected to run are dismissing the contest? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers.
You know, I'm having all kinds of problems trying to trade in my old car.
Oh, dealer's still insisting that it run, huh?
Exactly. If it ran, I wouldn't have to trade it in.
Well, if your old car won't leave the driveway or won't leave it reliably, donate it to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You'll help pay for the programs you love, and you'll pocket a tax deduction.
Pretty good, huh? Here's how to do it.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, wpln.org.
You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Coming up at about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360. And at 11 o'clock, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now, the time is 9:39. It's 79 degrees in Nashville.
That is Jeremy Schrader's Hot Memphis Five. Thank you very much, guys. We have had a few moments with the word sicer. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, for many years, I used to narrate a lot of the NOVA programs. And yes. In the course of that, I don't think I ever saw a more amazing or hilarious piece of footage than a slow motion shot of bees trying to get into and out of their hive. Those guys are in serious need of a revolving door. They have no idea where they're going. They're slamming into each other constantly. It's a miracle that they don't all end up in a dead pile outside the hive. Wherefore, sicer. Sicer apparently was the result of a collision of a whole bunch of bees and an apple.
Not an Applebee's.
Remember when we were talking about product placement earlier in the episode?
No, it's a kind of a drink. It's cider with honey, honeyed cider. Also, it's an onomatopoeic because it's usually pronounced sicer. people who drink it.
That would be hard sicer.
Hard sicer.
Hard sicer.
Cider with honey is sicer.
A honeyed cider.
That's what it could be. Makes perfect sense. Or Garland, something else.
Well, it's friction of something very rough against something very smooth, like
dental floss.
Well, like sandpaper against chrome, that rubbing, or an emery board against silk, which is a good way to get out stains. Just kidding. So, yes. But it's a friction of something hard and rough against something smooth.
Friction of something rough against something smooth.
Extreme friction.
Ooh, sounds interesting. And it's also possible. But Barry, it could be a third alternative.
Sizer, one who counts or tabulates. If you're a fan of Dickens, you may recall from his great novel, Martin Chuzzlewit's, a phrase that there above his crabbed little desk was a board whereupon inscribed was, "The wiser the sizer, the bigger the figure."
The wiser the sizer. It could be that. It could be someone who counts or tabulates, correct?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Someone who counts or tabulates, it can be the friction of something smooth against something rough. Mm-hmm. Or cider with honey.
Cider with honey.
It is, in fact, one of those three, and the choice, Arnie, is yours.
Well, now, sizer. The honey drink, I don't know.
It
sounds like a product name. I mean, like a brand name. If you were going to actually create a sort of honeyed apple cider, you would call it maybe sizer with a Z. I don't, and the pulp friction or whatever she was doing on the back. I don't know. By process of elimination, I think it's somebody who tabulates.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Captain.
It's unanimous.
Well, then we're going down with the ship. All right. We say it's Barry's.
Barry.
The sizer is a calculator.
Barry, they got there in a hurry. They are unanimous. They say that a sizer is someone who counts.
I'll take a walk around the block if you want and come
or
back.
Or a tabulates.
Sink really fast, too.
They say a sizer is one who counts or tabulates. Is that, in fact, what it is?
They have calculated incorrectly.
Oh! Oh.
10 points for your team for a successful bluff. Really? Someone up there was telling the truth. Audience, what do you think? Most of the audience said friction. The scorekeepers, however, think it's the cider. It's one of the two, so who was telling the truth?
Sicer, the Manischewitz of the being class. Yes, no, it is honeyed cider.
Honeyed cider is what it is.
Good luck. Wow.
Congratulations. 10 points. This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Wendy Hassenfuss of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Wendy writes, many, many, many years ago, I heard your show while driving to college my sophomore year. It was a terrible round of Shakespeare puns, but it was the start of many years of devotion. Today I have a bachelor's degree, 3 kids, debts, and memories. Can you bring back my carefree single self with that round of yore? We sure can, Wendy, from season 2, a round of Shakespearean cryptic clues. From the following convoluted clues, yeah, puns, and obscure references, please tell me, to what Shakespearean person, place, or title am I alluding? An example, raincoat bottom might be Mac Duff.
Holy Moses.
To you, maybe.
Right, really.
Gonna be tough, this one.
Why don't you just say Mac Duff? It's so much simpler.
And then we come up with Raincoat Bob. It's easy.
I think it's time for us to start asking a few questions.
I dare you. I dare you.
Use hopefully correctly in a sentence.
Yes, I know. Murray?
Yes,
try
sir.
This one. Lots of Hawaiian greetings.
Aloha's. Lots of many.
Well struggled through.
Toy boat.
Aloha. She got so excited and so excited. Menelaus is indeed correct. Many lays.
Oh. Gosh, thank you.
Very good. Tony, try this one. Lily embargo.
Embargo?
Lily embargo.
You remember Lily embargo?
She was on the Paramount circuit as a band dancer.
Yeah,
remember
Lily
embargo?
Very good.
We're talking about a Shakespearean person.
Yeah.
Your title on the other side does know this. I think we need to go to the other side. They're on a roll today.
Caliban.
Caliban is indeed correct.
Caliban.
A Lily embargo would be a Caliban. Here's an ugly one, Lenore. Beret O'Brien rented.
What?
What's the first word?
Beret, B-E-R-E-T.
A beret.
Oh, God, I thought you were doing a blessing in Hebrew.
Right, it's a beret, pretty hard off and what?
Beret O'Brien rented.
Lease, something
beret
lease.
Beret O'Brien, what's the
rented?
Beret O'Brien what?
Lease potato.
Rented?
Something
yes.
Lease, something lease.
Beret O'Brien lease. Rented.
Something lease. Lease. Lease.
You're going to have to work with rented. O'Brien.
O'Brien,
O'Brien
is... Potato
or O'Brien?
Margaret.
No.
Pat Lee.
No.
No, another O'Brien.
The audience does know this anyway. Any help from
you? Oh, that is just a very...
O'Brien. Rented.
Who are the famous O'Briens?
Right, well, the O'Briens.
Cap Hugh Lett. Yes, Hugh O'Brien.
Hugh O'Brien. That's
Hugh.
I want to tell you.
Cap Hugh. I was on Cap.
And this gets the most mail. You'd be stunned. Francine, try this one. Brummel's value in the magnetic area.
Oh, of course.
Brummel is B-R-U-M-M-E-L. Brummel's value in the magnetic area.
Bow, value.
Bosworth Field.
That is exactly right. 10 points.
That's a very good.
Bosworth
Field.
Brummel's value is Bosworth. In the magnetic area is a field, Bosworth Field. Very good.
Thank you.
Arnie, try this one. They busted the romance union.
They busted the romance union.
Busted the romance
arrest.
Union.
Arrest.
They busted
a romance
the
union,
union
is a wedding, a no, marriage.
No.
I would think of union as being labor.
So oh.
Guild.
No.
Love's labor's lost.
Yes,
labor's
that's right.
Lost.
Love's labor's lost. They busted the romance union.
Right, but you said it out loud.
Yes.
And it wasn't yours. Thanks, I was just so surprised I understood it.
Yeah. And Barry, we're going to close this category out with this one. Trust me on this. Write this down, okay? Great zero fuss. G-R-E-A-T
Zero, Z-E-R-O, and Fuss, F-U-S-S. Great Zero
Great
Fuss.
Great Zero Fuss.
I'm going to get booed for this
o
one.
Henry.
The audience is on to this one.
Great Zero Fuss.
This will Much Ado About Nothing?
No. Much Ado About Nothing. Very good, Tony.
Very good. Tony.
That's our Spotlight Round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's close with a round of key ingredients. Modern advertising has convinced us that the product's no good unless it has a certain something extra. For 10 points, please tell me what you know about the following something extras.
All right.
Try this one, Carolyn. Special sauce.
Special sauce. Well, that's on the Big Mac at McDonald's, and nobody knows what's in it.
Well, they have a thought, though. They do have a thought.
All right. All right. So it's probably a mayonnaise-based.
Yes, in a way.
With some
barbecue stuff.
Isn't it Thousand Island dressing?
With some well, that's what they think it is, yes. Very
Thousand
good.
Island dressing.
Thousand yep. Island dressing, yeah.
10 points for that. It is. You remember the two all beef patty special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, that thing?
Sure.
Went into a Big Mac. The recipe for secret sauce was never formally revealed, but most observers think it's a simple variation of Thousand Island dressing.
Oh.
Well, there you go. Very good.
And I have never been to a McDonald's.
Really?
Really. I know it's unusual, but...
Yes,
just...
that's... Well,
well...
Try this one, Tony. Chemgrass.
Chem? How do you spell that?
C-H-E-M-G-R-A-S-S. Chemgrass.
Chemgrass. And what's missing?
No.
What is it?
Well...
It would be weaker.
It's... Guacamole gone really bad?
It is not, no.
No.
Is it something along the lines of AstroTurf?
It is exactly something along the lines of AstroTurf. Do you know why? It is actually the blend of miracle fibers from the Chemstrand company that we now call AstroTurf. Do you know why we now call it AstroTurf?
Mr.
Because
Ken
it first went down to the Astrodome?
That's exactly right.
Oh.
Very good. It was done for the Houston Astros baseball team for the Astrodome, and that's why it's called AstroTurf. But originally, it was the Miracle Fiber Chemgrass, and now I don't know what it is.
It's a miracle.
Try this one, Arnie.
Yeah, go ahead.
This was a key ingredient, and maybe in your wheelhouse, Platformate.
Oh,
Platformate.
Now with Platformate.
Now with Platformate, and yes. Platformate.
But to me, it could be a gasoline or a toothpaste, because I can't remember.
It's one of those two.
It's one of those two. It's a gasoline.
It is, in fact. It's a gasoline additive.
Additive. Now with Platformate. And I can't remember the company.
Shell?
That is exactly right.
Oh,
very good, you guys. I can't believe you remember that. Do you remember the line of cars driving across the desert?
Yeah.
These four, the white cars have Platformate, the dark cars don't.
Right.
And then one by one, the dark cars drop off and the white cars keep on going.
Yeah, who would drive a dark car in the desert?
Yeah. They stop because the driver does.
Okay.
Key frustration.
It was the gasoline additive that boosted mileage.
What else would it do?
Right. One of Super Shell's nine
Actually, it's the secret sauce, but no one's talking
about it. That's right. It's actually one of Super Shell's nine working ingredients. I don't know what the other eight were. We don't try this. Garland, this was the secret ingredient in this particular product, Farvignugan.
Oh!
A VW bug?
Well, it was the VW, yes.
Volkswagen?
It was the sense of fun driving that went with having a sporty little VW.
He's right. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That is exactly right.
My Volkswagen had near forgotten. You know, it never got anywhere.
All right. Give this one a try, Lenore.
I can't believe it's not butter.
No.
What is it?
It's oil.
Boy, is it ever.
Can it's polyunsaturated oil.
Vegetable oil.
It's solid.
It's solid. It's, so you can spread it.
It was formerly a deodorant, and I think they stuck that. Well, isn't it just... compacted vegetable oil.
Well, you're right about the vegetable oils. It's the blend of soybean, canola, and vegetable oils. Care to guess what else might be in that puppy?
Crisco.
Butter flavor.
Lard.
Salt
is in there.
Oh.
Absolutely.
The food coloring. Food coloring.
Yes, they got the food.
Yellow dye number five.
They got that beta carotene.
Is casein in
We're missing
there?
Something.
Or whey protein.
I don't know if that soy lecithin is what you're
speaking
of.
That's an emulsifier.
Yeah. Oh, that's an emulsifier. You know this? Oh, okay. That's an emulsifier. you've got a lot of it. You're 8 points there. Just give me the one that I'm missing that I really found interesting.
Custard.
I can't believe it. Custard. One that you found interesting.
How about a little butter?
Well, you know, you're almost right.
Cream.
Yes. Sweet cream.
Sweet cream.
And I'm thinking to myself, if you've gone to the trouble to put the sweet cream in, why don't you just use butter?
Butter, right. Exactly. What else can we put in this?
Give them 10 points.
Butter.
Good job, you guys.
Long way around that.
There it is.
It's those vegetable oils, water, sweet cream, salt, soy lecithin, vegetable and monodiglycerides.
A lot of trouble. Wow, happy, sleepy, and doc.
Yeah. Potassium sorbate, citric acid, and vitamin A.
Wow.
So that's what's in it. And finally, Barry, what was Gardol?
Oh, I love it. Gardol was an ingredient that went in toothpaste.
Colgate.
It did? Can you remember?
In Colgate toothpaste, and it gave you a nice, shiny, white smile.
10 points. It absolutely was. You guys have had the day of days over there.
It was the Gardol shield.
It is most likely sodium monofluorophosphate, or its derivative Ne3FPO3, but it's the secret ingredient in Colgate toothpaste. All I can say is your performance today, Garland, may be an all-time record for this show. 116 points and a victory. Congratulations, winners this week. Holy mackerel. That may be a record. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Cindy Yonker and Stephen Weeks and all the folks here at the Buckman Performing Arts Center, to Trey Bowden, to Dan Campbell, and all the folks at WKNO, including Justin Willingham, who has literally given his blood for this show this week. Thank you so much to all the folks at WKNO. Sharon Salkin are the writers, Antonio Oliart mans the meters, and Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. We close the show on the banks of the chilly, rainy Mississippi today with Mr. Twain's famous counsel that climate is what you expect. Weather is what you get. Thanks for braving the weather, Memphis, and we'll see you all next week. Says You in Memphis, Tennessee is made possible by the Buckman Performing Arts Center and the good folks at WKNO-FM. You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming comes from community support. Many companies will match gifts to Nashville Public Radio. Made by employees and retirees, ask your employer if they have a matching gift program or find out more in the membership section of our website at WPLN.org.
With the hottest days of summer here, sometimes it may seem necessary to go to extremes when it comes to decreasing energy consumption. NES suggests a few simple ways to reduce energy use. Turn off unneeded lights, raise the thermostat slightly, or adjust the water heater to 120 degrees. NES customers don't have to go to extremes to reduce energy consumption. Learn more about